let's take our Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter number 12. We're going to start a new lesson on the series that we've been talking about. The series are Christian pitfalls, different pitfalls that we can fall into if we're not careful. And we finished up the pitfall of pity parties last time, and so now we're going to start a brand new one, the pitfall of bitterness. So if you have a handout, we put some handouts back there I'll help you try to fill in some of those blanks as we go along. And no, we're not planning to finish today. So Hebrews chapter number 12. Let's begin here in verse number 14. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that we have your word. And I pray that as we look into this passage over the next couple of weeks, that you'd help me to say what needs to be said and hopefully make some applications to our lives. And Lord, this is an important topic that if we are not careful, it could really hinder us and those who we have relationships with. So I pray that you would guide and speak to our hearts and that you'd be glorified so that we can avoid this dangerous pit. Again, need your help today. Pray that you bless and guide us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So the pitfall of bitterness. Again, as I mentioned in the past, a pitfall is that trap that's designed to catch someone or something, right? They lay a little disguise over there and get you to walk across and hopefully fall in. And one of the most dangerous pitfalls, they're all dangerous, all the ones that we've been talking about, but this one is very dangerous as well in its bitterness. And the devil is quick to give us plenty of reasons to harbor animosity and resentment in our hearts toward other people. It's easy to find. You could make a list. You could probably go through. You could make a list about all of the reasons why you could be bitter at me, about the people who live in your own house. Because let's face it, there are offenses that happen in homes. There are offenses that happen in churches. There are offenses that happen at work. You could make a list of all the reasons why you should be and could be bitter, college students, with your roommates, with your classmates, with your teachers, with your boss at work. I mean, the list goes on and on. Husband and wife, you can say, yeah, but I've told them and I asked them nicely for 25 years not to do this, and they still do this, and you're still bitter about it. What a wonderful marriage, right? and so some people fall into this pit of bitterness, and they never get out. They go to the grave bitter, and they've got a sour attitude, a sour disposition, and yeah, they wither and eventually die in that pit. And God wants us to beware of this and not to fall into that. Yeah, so let's just dive into it. First one, first of all, we want to see the characteristics, and obviously not all characters, but just want to give you some characteristics of bitterness. Basically going to try to define it here for us. Bitterness is, it refers to, and obviously when you're talking about taste and food, It refers to a sharp, biting taste. You know, some people, I don't understand it, but they like bitter, to eat bitter things. They like to walk around, you know, with a sour look on their face or something. You know, Sour Patch Kids things, you know, that just has absolutely no appeal to me. You know, I think one of the first times I saw one of those little things, I said, oh, a gummy. Oh, not a gummy. A gummy covered with nasty stuff that I didn't want. I mean, I have enough problem with bitterness. I don't need to put it in my mouth and ingest it. You know what I'm saying? So one word that is used to define bitterness is wormwood. And you'll see the word wormwood in the scriptures too. And that's a plant that produces a nauseous taste. And kind of like that feeling, you know, when you hear that person's name that did you wrong, you kind of get that nauseous taste, that pit in your stomach. It's like, ugh, that one, that person who did me wrong. And then you've got the wormwood feeling going on. It tastes so good, doesn't it? It doesn't have to taste that way because we don't have to choose to be bitter. Now, in Acts 8:23, you don't have to turn there, but Peter was rebuking Simon the sorcerer who made a profession but he wanted to, he thought he could buy the gift of God. And anyway, Peter wasn't too happy with him. And he said this to Simon, "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity." Now, that verse there itself could preach for a while. The idea of the gall of bitterness. Gall is poison. And he said that Simon had gotten in the gall of bitterness, the poison of bitterness, and the bond of iniquity. And so, actually, it goes together. When you ingest spiritually the poison of bitterness and you let that harbor in your heart and you start festering bad feelings toward other people, now you also become in the bond of iniquity. You're locked in. You're held by sin. And it's not a good place to be. I'm not saying you can't keep a semblance of quote-unquote holiness in other areas in your life, but it's going to come out, this sinfulness. So the word gall refers to poison, and spiritually, bitterness is a poison. It makes you sick. You know, bitterness will make you sick in your stomach, you know, but it'll also make you sick in your soul. And God doesn't want us to have a sin-sick soul. And it's that, how else can we describe it? Bitterness is like that feeling of disgust, right, that fills your heart every time, as I mentioned before, that certain person's name comes across your ears, right? That person who did you wrong, or when you remember a traumatic event, something bad that's happened to you, or someone, as we say, did you wrong. They said something about you, they treated you a certain way, and whatever it is. And so when that happens, you get that feeling of that angst in you. It's like, that person. That's bitterness that's rising up. And if it's not dealt with, as we said, bitterness is a poison. And if it's not dealt with, it begins to kill. You know, you take enough poison, it'll kill. And what does bitterness kill? Well, it kills your peace. You don't have peace. You're not settled anymore. You're not content in your heart with God. It kills your joy. You know, you're not happy. You're got that scowl on your face, right? And also kills your usefulness for God, because you're not abounding with joy, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're really going to hurt more people than you're going to help. And And it's sad because what happens is even active Christians can get bitter. And you still have your duties to do, and so you do them. And you've been used to doing those duties for quite a while, and so you can go out and do those duties because you know how to do those duties. But it's a grind. You know, going out, knocking on doors is, I don't want to. It's whatever. Passing out that track, you're not doing as frequently. Or going to the nursing homes and visiting the people, or going out on the bus route, and it's everything's just, you're pushing through it. It's difficult. You're forcing it. And it might be because something else is off. And so it really kills a lot of things, this idea of bitterness. So this is it's a very dangerous pitfall to fall into. So first one is the character of bitterness, and we've seen that it's a sharp, biting taste. It's poison. It's not good for us. Secondly, I want you to see the caution against bitterness. We'll go back to our text here now, and we're going to really just try to spend a lot of time. I'm not saying we won't jump out and look at other verses in the Scripture. We will, but we're going to really try to dig into this a little bit here. And so we're looking here. Look with me in verse number 15, chapter 12, verse 15. He says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. So there's a caution against bitterness. Those two words, first words there in the verse says, looking diligently. So the writer of Hebrews here warns us to be on the lookout for this idea of bitterness. Be on the lookout. And the phrase has the idea of beware. So when you say looking diligently, you're on the lookout, you're being aware, you're on heightened alert. No, if you travel at all, you get to go to the airport and you get to stand in line at TSA and have your bags screened, and it's a nuisance, it's a hassle. But we're also happy that they're catching people with loaded guns and potential bombs and things like that so that we can have a safer flight. Unless, you're on one of those Boeing aircrafts and the door just kind of just flies out, whatever. That's another thing altogether. But when TSA scans your bags at the airport, what are they doing? Hopefully they're doing their job, and they're on the lookout for dangerous items in the luggage, right? And sometimes they'll set aside a bag to investigate it. They see a bag that has some powder, and they want to find out, what's that powder? Okay. At times, you hear about it from time to time, that they find loaded handguns in people's carry-ons. I'm sorry, that's just not a mistake. Oh yeah, I forgot I had it, so I just had to put it in my carry-on. Really? Okay. So there's all sorts of crazy things that they find. So we're happy that they're doing their job in finding these things. But with even greater diligence, we ought to be searching our hearts for any signs of this contraband item called bitterness that can get into our hearts. Beware, looking diligently, right? We want TSA to be looking diligently for bombs because we don't want to get blown up. And God is saying, be diligent, beware. Really looking into your heart and life to make sure that you don't have this this bitterness that's going to blow up your life and the lives of others around you. It's so deadly, we ought to be on high alert. And so when the Holy Spirit pricks your heart about having a bitter spirit, don't shrug it off, okay? Take time to open up, so to speak, that carry-on baggage of emotions that we have, and check for any bitterness. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:10, the heart knoweth his own bitterness. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. We know who we don't like. We know who has done us wrong. And we can give a lot of reasons why we should be against them. Right? I mean, obviously, because they went against me, so they must be bad, because you don't like me, then you got to be bad. And we all think that way, right? And so, since you know it's there, then you have a choice either to ignore it or to deal with it. And if you ignore it, when you and I ignore that bitterness, then we'll end up dealing with the consequences of it. So we've seen the characteristics of bitterness. We've seen the caution of bitterness. You say, look at that, Pastor Olson, you've already got through 2 points. We might make it. No, we won't. Trust me. I want you to see the third point here, the cause of bitterness. Now, interesting, I debated, should I put down causes of bitterness? And I didn't. I put down the cause. You say, no, I think there's a lot more causes of bitterness than just one. Ish, as they say. We could list a lot of things that can cause people to become bitter, and we'll discuss a couple things here as we go along. But I want you to see something. I think it boils down to what we see in Hebrews chapter 12 here, verse number 15. Looking diligently, again, beware, be on the lookout. He says, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So he's talking about this root of bitterness springing up, but he says something right before that. He says, looking diligently, be on the lookout, lest any man fail of the grace of God. So let me suggest the cause of bitterness is failing in this area of the grace of God. You say, that doesn't make sense. I don't understand that. I'll try to explain it, and so bear with me, okay? Grace, allows us to do and accomplish things that we can't naturally do and accomplish on our own, right? For by grace are ye saved through faith, right? We can't save ourselves. We're saved by grace. And so we need grace to be saved. You can look in Corinthians there where it talks about the poor believers, and he said, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed, right? How they were able to give beyond their ability, because they were so poor, they were able to do more than naturally they were capable of. How did they do that? It was through the grace of God. Another example here, Paul gives us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. He said he was attributing God's power in his life to one thing, and that was the grace of God. He said, whereof I was made a minister, how? According to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. So God allowed him to be this minister, this servant, by the gift of grace, and it was through this effectual working of God's power in him. So the great apostle Paul, we could say, wow, he did so much for God. God really used him. Well, he tells us how. It was by the grace of God. He also says in another passage, he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. So if you're lacking in any area of your life, what you're really lacking in is grace. Because grace will help us do the things that we need to do. When's the last time you asked God for grace? It's probably a pretty good thing to do, since it is what enables us, it is what empowers us, it's what helps us to accomplish things or to overcome things in our life and do those things that we can't do on our own. God wants us to be better, and we struggle because we have this corrupt flesh, don't we? It just keeps pulling us down. We just keep having wrong thoughts. We keep having wrong attitudes, and we need to constantly go back and be making these adjustments. So let's go back here and look in verse number 15 again of chapter 12, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. So what happens when we fail of the grace of God? A root of bitterness rises up. He says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So let's consider that for a moment, okay? If we were to go around and ask different people in the room today why they're bitter at somebody, and I'm not going to do that, right? How many of you want to tell me why you're bitter and who you're bitter at? Wow, this would be a great Sunday school lesson, right? Oh, let's get it all out. Just vent. You know, you'll feel so much better. No, you won't. And that's the whole problem, because you think we always think we're going to feel better when we just, I don't like that person. Yeah, it makes you feel so good, doesn't it? That bitter feeling. But if we went around and asked different people, typically they're going to point the finger at somebody. They might point their finger at an event. And they're going to explain some injustice that's done to them. Now, let me pause for a moment and say, yeah, there are injustices that are done to us. Can I also say sometimes it's a perceived injustice? You think someone was trying to get you, and they weren't. And you just thought it. And that's the whole problem with bitterness, too. Once you start thinking someone has done something to you, then you're on the lookout. But now you're not on the lookout for bitterness in your heart. You're on the lookout for what's going on in their life. Oh yeah, and they said this, and then they did this, and you've got your list, and you're making it. So we went around asking, so why are you bitter at someone? Well, she gossiped about me. Now we know gossip's not good, because we had a series of Sunday school lessons on that, right? And so, and that is a wicked thing. So they gossip. So, and the Bible says it's bad, and they did it toward me. So they are bad. And I don't like them. And I have every right to not like them, because I heard that whole lesson, series of lessons. It says gossip's bad. So I have every, no, we don't have every right to be angry and hateful toward them. Another one. He insulted me. Maybe. Maybe. My boss didn't give me that promotion. My boss, I had a great idea. My boss shot down my idea. And he went ahead and went with his stupid plan, and it didn't work. And he's an idiot, right? Now, I'm using those words on purpose. Why? Because when we start feeling that way and those words come to our heart and mind about certain people, what is that telling us? Oh, that guy, he's a jerk. That telling me right there, I've got a bitter taste in my mouth. And those words that we use to describe other people, which might be actually fitting sometimes, if we're not careful, also describe our attitude toward them and reveal something about us. So we have to be very, very careful. Here's another one. And that, again, some things. Why are you bitter at your spouse? Well, they cheated on me. That is a horrible thing, isn't it? Not a light matter. Ask some parents, why are you bitter? Well, my teenager disrespected me. They won't listen. They've turned their back on what they've been taught. They're terrible. You can ask some teenager, why are you bitter at your parent? Well, they belittled me. They punished me when I didn't even do something wrong. Yeah, and how many things have you done wrong that you didn't get punished for, right? Someone else, you know, why are you bitter? Well, that person abused me. And that's a whole serious matter. I mean, that's horrible. It's wicked. There's a lot of terrible hurts. There's a lot of injustices that are petty, and there are some that are very, very painful and life-altering. So I'm not going to take away from some of the experiences that we've had. Some in here have gone through some terrible heartache and tragedy. And it does bring pain, and it does bring heartache. And then you can also get to the place where you can become bitter at God. Say, Lord, I've been serving you. I've been faithfully trying to go to church. I've been trying to read my Bible. I've been trying to raise my family for you. I've been giving. I've been sacrificing. I've been doing all these things, and you allow this crisis to come into my life, and we get bitter at God. Why did you let this happen? Like it's God's fault that sin happens. But we blame God at times. Again, I said some offenses can be life-altering. How about a drunk driver who kills a loved one? And the drunk driver walks away from the accident without a scratch. That's just not fair. That just doesn't seem right. And it's easy to have bad feelings toward that person and anger. And it's true that bitterness results from a lack of unforgiveness. But why do we struggle so much to forgive people who have wronged us? Because we could go back and say, really, bitterness is a result of unforgiveness. And it is. But why am I not forgiving somebody? Why do you not forgive somebody? Say, well, it's too hard to forgive somebody. Oh. It's impossible. They did this to me and they were wrong. I can't forgive them. It's not natural to forgive somebody who did something like they did to me. Exactly. It's not natural. What do you need to be able to do that? What gives us the ability to do something that we can't do naturally? Grace. So let me suggest then that the real cause of bitterness is a failure to have the grace of God in our lives working. Because grace, if we had the grace that we needed, grace would enable us to forgive. And so let's ask another important question. Why do we lack grace? Well, James chapter 4, verse number 6 says, "But he giveth more grace." I'm glad that he gives grace. So it's free for the offer, okay? "Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but you know the rest, giveth grace to" who? "The humble." That's where the problem comes in. We're not humble. But when we humble ourselves in the sight of God, then he gives us his grace. When we become proud, God resists us. And it's extremely difficult to humble ourselves. It's hard for me to humble myself. Why? Because by nature, we're selfish people. You and I want our way. Okay, if you don't, I want my way. Right? I like my opinion, and you probably like your opinion. That's why people get in arguments, right? Because they're not going to let up. We all typically want our way, and when someone hurts us, we don't like it. And that's natural. We don't like it. Understandable, totally understandable. But it's not a problem that you dislike someone hating you or whatever they do. It's not a problem. You know, if someone comes up and robs you, you're not supposed to like it. Okay? I mean, yes, we should be thankful that, in all things. I get that. Thankful that, God is still in control of all our circumstances. But you don't have to like the experience. The problem begins when our pride causes us to turn against the people who hurt us. Okay, if they hurt, if you hurt me, I don't have to like it. But if I start turning against you because you've turned against me, that becomes the problem. So we get angry. Pride sets in. When pride sets in, God resists us. We don't get the grace that we need to handle the situation. Then we fail to forgive, and we become bitter. And until we confess our pride and ask for forgiveness and extend forgiveness, we're going to lack the grace that we need to move past our offenses. All right, I hope I didn't go digging too deep here. I'm just trying to explain how I see this passage working for us. You know you're bitter when you hang on to what someone else has done to you. It just you're not going to let it go. Yeah, but they did this, right? Do you know people change? Someone did something to you 10 years ago, and in your mind, they are just the same as they were 10 years ago. You've defined that person's entire life for the rest of their life by what they've done to you 10 years ago. Hopefully you're not the same person you were 10 years ago. Hopefully you've moved past some things that you've done 10 years ago. And hopefully as a Christian you've grown better. And here, someone did something to us. They said something about us. They treated us a certain way. Whatever they did. And it was 10 years ago or whatever. And we've got them defined. That's what they are. That's horrible. You don't think God's been working in their life? This is the life of another believer that they haven't changed at all? And you rehearse it. You and I rehearse things. When we rehearse things about people, we're bitter. If you're always looking at someone else's shortcomings to build a case against them, here they are, they did that, okay. Yep, and they said that, and they looked at me this way, And you know what's going on. Your pride is at work because they're against me. And if you're against me, you must be bad, right? That's how we think. And we're bitter. We lack God's grace. We're not going to get through this. We're not going to get through a lot of other things, and life becomes just a struggle. And I'm telling you, life will be frustrating without the grace of God to help you get through it. And you need God's grace to get you through life. There are young people who are bitter at their parents because their parents made a mistake. Hello? Everyone makes mistakes. Young people, if you're that way, let me tell you, you're going to be a parent. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to make a mistake. There are pastors, Christian school teachers, principals. There are pastors' wives, all sorts of people who serve God full time who will offend you and hurt you. Do they go into the ministry to hurt people? No. But they're human. They make mistakes. Part of the Christian life is to love and forgive one another. If we could do that in our homes would be wonderful. If we could do that in the churches, our churches would be wonderful. We've got to learn to love and forgive and move on. And we need God's grace to do that. If you struggle with bitterness, let me just suggest that you do what God says and be looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Be on the lookout. Lord, is there any bitterness? Is there anything, is there any pride that's rising up in me? Oh, it's so easy to let pride rise up because, you know, we say, someone says something about us, it's like, we don't want to hear it. We don't want to humble ourselves. We don't want to move forward. We don't want to forgive. And when tragedy strikes or some serious injustice is done to us, we've got to look to God to get through it. And holding resentment, holding bitterness, it doesn't help us, not at all. So I want to conclude with James chapter number 4, just over a few pages. James chapter number 4. And then next week we'll get back and looking at Hebrews chapter 12 again. But I read verse 6 already, but I won't read that again. And we'll read a couple more verses. In James chapter 4, verse 6, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." So we humble ourselves and say, "Lord, this hurts. What this person did to me, what this person said to me, this event that happened to me, it really hurts. I don't like it. I have some animosity. I have some resentment. Please forgive me and help me." We're humbling ourselves in the sight of God. Then he says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." All right? "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Why? Because the devil wants to come in and just cause that anger to well up inside of us, right? We're reminded, neither give place to the devil. And that in context was talking about not letting an angry spirit rule you. Then he says in verse number 8, "Draw nigh to God," and what will happen? "He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." And so God will help us. And then look down there in verse number 10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord," and what will happen? "He shall lift you up." We don't have to lift ourselves up. And that's the problem. We want to lift ourselves up. I mean, you come at me, I want to come right back at you because I'm going to lift myself up and I'm coming back at you. Isn't it better to let God take care of those things? And so, let me just suggest, bitterness is something I think absolutely everybody deals with, and we got to make sure that we do deal with it and not sweep it under the rug, not ignore it, not make excuses for it, because it's real easy to make excuses for it, but you don't know. I do know one thing. They were crucifying Jesus. And you know what he said? "Father, forgive them." So, not easy. But that's where we need to come.